if you stay in the middle, I don't think you're really going to resonate with people on the same level. Now, you can't just be a jackass and go out of your way to just be controversial. I also think that's not necessarily a good idea, but right. You have an opinion, man, you know, like, say what you think.
Always good to have this guy on the program. He is a fellow physical therapist and fellow PT podcaster, Danny Matei. This guy, he does it all. Currently hosting the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. We jumped on with him to talk about, just entrepreneur stuff. And two guys who don't shut up going back and forth. So buckle up if you're a PT and ever thought about opening your own PT practice. Danny's got your info. The first round is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs seeking certification in blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. Check them out at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting.
This is
the PT Pintcast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy Matei.
Welcome to the show, Danny Matei. Is this three or four times you've been on the show?
I think it's three.
Three?
Maybe.
I jumped on your show, which is the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, I think it was like exactly a year ago.
Yeah, it was really close. Because it was around summer when we started that.
Yeah.
Which yours is definitely one of the more popular ones we have. I think you just, you draw a big crowd. People seem to like you.
Well, my mom said I had the face built for radio and podcasting. So I think that's really the draw. So for people who don't know about it, and it's gaining steam, as we mentioned, you launched it a year ago. You're over 100 episodes. You got there quick, man.
We're, 104 or something like that at this point. And we decided we wanted to do two a week. And it's something that... I know you get a lot of questions about podcasts, and we could do a whole podcast on starting a podcast. And
yes, we could.
multiple ones, right? But the thing is, the first project we had, the Doc and Jock podcast, we had done one a week, and then we decided to do 2 weeks because we wanted to kind of do like a more longer form one and then a shorter, more topic-based kind of answer a question or something like that. We just got so many email questions, we decided we needed another medium to answer it. Well, the same thing happened with the business podcast, right? So it's basically like a longer one on Tuesday and then a shorter one on Thursdays. And it's usually a question from a student or a new PT or somebody that's in business and they're trying to grow or they're trying to start potentially. So it's been cool. Honestly, man, I think we could probably do three or four a week and not answer all the questions. Like it's nuts.
What are some things you've learned? I mean, you've done more than 100 episodes and I like your variety. And it's funny because when you go from, I'm 38 years old, when you go from broadcasting, and that was the norm back then, there were no podcasting when we were kids, you can get so niche. So you're the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. So clearly that's pretty niche. Right? You've got to be a physical therapist. So that makes the barrel pretty small. And then entrepreneur is either someone who is or is looking to get into it. But you go even more niche. You start talking about websites or, building a brand or social media. I mean, you get really, really narrow in such a great way on your show. What are some things that really stick out to you?
I would much rather have a small group of people that my message resonates really well with than a large group of people that I'm like somewhat, that's okay, whatever. I mean, if my goal was to try to gain as many downloads as possible and try to get as much, advertiser, stipend from that as possible. Like I would, it's not necessarily the route to go, but when I'm trying to focus on the things that the people that I really think I can help. Like my goal is for, if somebody's listening to the podcast and they listen to a couple, there to be like a no brainer, like, dude, this is exactly who I need to listen to, or they leave and they go somewhere else, which is totally fine. It's this idea of like, what's the right bait for your perfect customer, right? Like, let's say you can't catch, whales with minnow bait. And for me, I look at it as the people that I like to work with, the people that I get the best results for are the people that are going to, in many cases, honestly, like 80 to 90% of them, first kind of initial contact is through the podcast, which is, it has to be the right message for me to then resonate with them to build the relationship of, me helping them with their business.
We get that a lot, and you try to figure it out, right? You try to figure out why that is. I think it's the conversational tone and the fact that people are spending 5, 10, 15, 30, an hour, minutes with you and really hearing. I mean, anybody can can write like a pre-planned intro, right? You can script out the first like 30 seconds of your podcast. But beyond that, it's just not sustainable. So then it comes down to personality and if someone actually knows what they're talking about, right? I mean, you can tell if someone's just BSing their way through a webinar or a podcast. And when you can tell that person's speaking from an area of expertise and they're speaking conversationally, that's when it resonates. And when they listen to you long enough and frequently enough, they start to like, they start to really want to get deeper. And that's when you start to get those questions via social media.
Oh, 100%, man. And, something that we started with Doc and Jock, when I was in the Army, people just started calling me Doc because that's just what they call anybody that's a medical provider at all, right? So it's like medic, physician, PT, whatever. You're a doc. So that's what I got a lot. It was, Doc Matei or, instead of my rank, which is totally fine with me. It's very casual. And that just kind of stuck. And then it happened with the podcast where, you kind of introduce yourself as Doc Danny. And then now like I still do. And people like, that's what people call me in certain cases when I meet them. They're like, hey, what's up, Doc Danny? And it's so weird to hear that. Like, it's obvious. The only people that call me that are people that listen to the podcast, not like my, buddy from college saying that. And it's funny though. Like I talked to Shantae Cofield about this too, with, the Movement Maestro. And she's like, yeah, people call me like, hey, Maestro. I think it's just so interesting what we're able to do with content. If you're consistent with it, you can definitely develop these pretty consistent long-term relationships.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how often I've said it on this show before, but my radio name for 15 years was just my last name. It was just McKay. So I've got friends right now who cannot call me Jimmy with a straight face without cringing because they knew me. And the only way they knew me was through our radio careers together. So that when they hear my buddies from home, and again, the funny thing is my buddies from home will call me either Jimmy or McKay. But when they hear my buddies from home call me Jimmy, they're confused as to who they're talking about. But to bring it back to why it's relevant for the audience, that's what you're doing when you're hosting a podcast. That's also what you're doing when you're seeing clients or talking to colleagues. It's that repetition of a personality. And we all, when you get up in front of a bunch of people and you start talking, you kind of put on your conference voice or your podcast voice or your communication with patient voice, but it becomes your persona. As long as you're consistent with it, that's what people identify you with.
Yeah, totally. I would say the other big thing, and this is sort of, I think it maybe depends on your platform. But one thing that I've noticed is, and sometimes this gets me in trouble, is that I'm not afraid to kind of take a stance with where I stand on things, and particular our profession and things that I like or dislike about it, and just the fact that. If you stay in the middle, I don't think you're really going to resonate with people on the same level. Now, you can't just be a jackass and go out of your way to just be controversial. I also think that's not necessarily a good idea, but you have an opinion, man. Like say what you think. And there's just a lot of people that are, I don't think are willing to do that. Yeah. Because sometimes like I've said stuff that I'm like, damn, I should not have said that on a podcast and released it. There's like multiple times where I could have been like, yeah, maybe I should edit that out. But I just, it is what it is, man. You just kind of have to be yourself. And sometimes that involves saying things that maybe irritate other people.
I mean, that's what people gravitate towards, right? I mean, nobody wants to, live in the middle, and people want to find out real stuff. And again, you can script out a couple of these episodes, but I think you can't sustain that. It's not long. And that's what people want to get out. They want to hear. If they wanted a really, really produced answer, they'd watch a produced video. And I think what you get out of a podcast, especially yours, and hopefully what people get out of mine, is people having conversations. Because whenever you go to a conference or you take a con ed course and you go out for a drink after, that's when you start to really, really learn. Now, I'm not saying you don't learn in the room. You're learning very, very clinical skills. But then when you start asking real questions, you get real answers.
Oh, 100%, man. I mean, it's the same way like the mastermind group that we have is.
About that.
It's something that I wanted to start. It's something I wanted to start because of my experience with mastermind groups. As I started to try to understand business, right? Like, I tell this story typically just to people in our mastermind. I mean, it's sort of one of those failures that didn't quite bankrupt us, and like we were just chugging along the first year and a half that I had opened Athlete's Potential, the cash practice that I own, and we had decided, we wanted to transition to owning or having our own space and keep our satellite office in a gym to be able to reach multiple parts of the city easier in Atlanta. It's sort of like most big cities where people don't want to drive. But when we did this, this was October. So it was closer to the end of the year. And we decided, okay, we found a space that we liked. We signed a lease on it. Like, I had no formal like business mentorship or anybody to really ask that would be able to help me with this. So I kind of just like figured it all out as I was going along. And I made like every single mistake you possibly could make. And we signed the lease, we didn't negotiate like any months of free rent because we didn't know. And they probably would have said yes, no matter what we said, you know, in the, sure. the market that it was at. So none of that. We thought it would get done really fast. The contractor took forever to get the permits. And then it was the holidays and nobody was working. And then the build out took longer than we thought. And we ended up not even opening that space until March of the following year. So it was like a 6 month period. And we also decided at the same time to bring on a full-time admin and to offer a residency slot to our first PT employee that we knew was coming on that summer. So
that's a lot of ands.
Dude, we're just hemorrhaging money. I mean, I tell people this, and this is a real number. Like, we literally, in that time frame, because we were paying our office manager that we'd brought on to work remotely the whole time, but we didn't really have things for her to do in the office for 6 months. We literally hemorrhaged off like $80,000 to $90,000 wow. in money that we had just accumulated because we had such a profitable business by me making all these dumb mistakes that I just didn't know any better. And I thought that I was smart enough to figure it all out. And as soon as like March rolled around, I got involved in a local mastermind group here in Atlanta. And that's what sort of spurred on my business or desire to gain business education was this frankly, event that didn't need to happen and money that I didn't need to lose. But it was what needed to happen for me to realize that I didn't know many things.
Right. Explain real briefly, just for the audience, because I think some of them know and maybe have heard the term. Explain what a mastermind group is and yep. what you get out of it.
So I think that there's multiple kinds, right? So like what the kind that I'm referencing is not a just digital mastermind group. There's plenty of digital mastermind groups where people get in a Facebook group together and they kind of talk about stuff, or maybe there's like some ongoing, you know, topic-based teaching or whatever. A true mastermind in the sense that I think of it is people that engage with each other every month and meet at a minimum at least twice a year. Mm-hmm. So, and the goal of that is for you to leverage the knowledge and relationships of the other people in the group with somebody like, for instance, I lead the group that we have, meaning I typically teach most of the content, but I also happen to know a lot of people that are in other businesses that can come in and talk about specific subjects if that's what we want to do. So we get together twice a year. The way ours is set up is we do one weekend is focused on sales and marketing, and the other weekend is focused on people and processes, because I feel these are the four areas of a business that you have to get right in order to scale past yourself, which is the goal. So this mastermind is just a group of people that get together a couple times a year that have a common goal in mind, which is to be able to scale their cash practice past just themselves and be able to have a sellable business one day that they can walk away from and actually sell their business if they choose to do so. And the only way they can do that is to develop a true business and not create a job for themselves. Hope that makes sense.
Yeah, creating something. And I like it. I've never joined a mastermind group, but I think I have, you know, several unofficial that just go on between myself and some other people.
Sure.
Leveraging a relationship or leveraging, you know, you being vulnerable and saying, you know what, I'm weak in this area, but I want to get better, and being able to kind of open yourself up to and listen to other people in your profession or without. I think a lot of times business too, you can learn a lot by learning about somebody who, you know, makes concrete or, you know, sells pets. It doesn't have to be specific to PT. You learn a lot of those lessons.
True. I mean, many of the concepts are similar. The local business forum, mastermind that I'm in, there's just a ton of different businesses. You name it, from service businesses to products to digital businesses, things like that. I'm also in a digital business mastermind. So I'm in two, and the other one is specifically for digital businesses. And this, again, we get together a couple times a year. This one isn't local to Atlanta, but we get together a couple times a year. There's sort of ongoing curriculum and accountability work that we have. And, you know, for me, what I found is, it seems like the more I invest in my business education, the more return on investment I get faster, right? So like, I can learn plenty of things the hard way, but it will take me 10 times as long and be 10 times as expensive by me messing it up, versus it's like cheat codes, right? Like, look at like business cheat codes. Like, hey, you have built a multi six-figure monthly recurring revenue business. Tell me what I need to know, like, right. here's the money for your time. Now you tell me what I should do and I'll do it. Cause you know, it's that simple. The problem is when people decide not to do that, take that advice. And usually the element that takes that out of it is when it becomes paid. So when you pay attention. That's one of the reasons why we run our mastermind the way that we do. If you don't want to pay attention or listen to us, it's going to be a waste of your time and money. And right. nobody wants to do that.
Now's a good time to grab a fresh one. The PT Pinecast. We'll be right back.
Be a leader in advancing patient outcomes with APTA's Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry. You can leverage your EHR data to benchmark outcomes without added data entry. That's right, there's no additional work. You'll be able to optimize your practice with easy-to-use reports, market your practice to patients, payers, and referring physicians, and maximize payment. It's the only nationwide registry building integrations for PT practices, regardless of what EHR you have. Sign up for a demo now at ptoutcomes.com/go.
That's ptoutcomes.com/go.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry, brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.com. org.
And we're back. Let's get back to the show.
So this call, you jumping on the show, was kind of prompted by one of those interactions. Now I get asked, and I know you do too, specifically about podcasting. We'll get really, really niche, but it could be applied to anything. And for the longest time, I would just I would just give away information kind of for free. You know what I mean? I would sit down to people, and I'm the kind of guy that pretty much says yes to way too many things. Right. And next thing you know, I don't have any time for myself or for me to do the things that I want because I've said yes to, you know, a bunch of 30-minute conversations. And one of those is fine and two is okay. And next thing you know, you've got 10. Somebody reached out to me officially because they listened to your podcast. I was on your show and they heard that episode and they want to do something similar to what you and I do, which is host a show and figure out a way to make that part of their life and their business.
Yeah.
And I reached out to you and I was like, man, it feels like I shouldn't be doing it, but everything that I listen to and everything that Danny tells me says it's not dirty because I'm helping someone monetize something. And then my second question was, how do I figure out what to actually charge? And I know that there's no bulletproof right answer. It was hard enough to get over. The first thing was I need to look this person in the eye and say, my time is valuable and you want the thing that I have, which is knowledge. We have to make this an arrangement and it's got to be official and there's got to be money involved.
Look, it's no different than physical therapy.
It is.
Like, think about this. Like people come to us because we have a certain knowledge base and skill set in dealing with musculoskeletal injuries. And many of us, I would assume the ones that really truly enjoy our career would do it for free if we didn't have to pay for food or a mortgage, right? And so there's nothing wrong with really enjoying what you do. Other people also, in many cases, don't necessarily, it's not that they're trying to, you know, be disrespectful. In many cases, they're just trying to seek help. Right. But you're right. There's what's called a time value or opportunity cost associated with anything that you do. So a one-off 30-minute call here or there, it adds up to quite a bit. And that is time when you could be doing something else that would be generating revenue for you. And it's not like we're on salary, right? So like this is where it gets challenging. I have a friend that's a pretty well-known strength and conditioning coach, and he left the professional kind of ranks, and he now travels around and does work with just professional athletes in the offseason. And he actually got a really nasty email from a friend of his that is a professional strength coach that wanted to send an intern to go work with him. And he was like, okay, cool. You can come work with me for the day, but this is what it costs, you know, to work with me for the day. So it's like a day rate with interns to work with them on strength and conditioning. Sure. And the coach, you know, sent him an email. It's like, I can't believe you tried to charge this guy for whatever. And he's like, look, man, you make $300,000 a year as an NFL strength coach, no matter what you do. I don't. He goes, I travel and I have to go do this. He's like, time is the only thing that I don't have more of. And not only that, he's like, I'm helping this person progress with a skill set. It took me a very long time to learn. Sure. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. In fact, I do it for business related stuff. And there's a couple things that I'll touch on that you asked. So number one, what should you charge? You should charge whatever it is that you and the prospective person that you work with agree on is what they're willing to pay, right? So this is a question I get with cash practice owners all the time. They're like, okay, what should I charge? Mm-hmm. And I say, well, as much as you ethically feel like you can charge for the service that you're providing, that person also agrees is fair or that they're willing to pay. And for most people, they're grossly underestimating what people are willing to pay for our services. And they charge half maybe of what they should. And because they don't have the confidence to be able to say, oh, this is what I'm worth. The other thing is, you know, how do you structure that? Well, I think that the best thing to do is figure out what are the repeat problems that you're solving and be able to productize that into something that you then have a package you can offer people, right? So the mastermind that we have helps practitioners go from, you know, a practice where it's just them to be able to get to where their schedule is full, to then be able to hire and bring on infrastructure and staff, take a step back and be able to say, okay, I'll see as many or as a few people as I want, and then be able to have a sellable practice one day. For you, it might be, okay, how do I start a podcast and how do I get my first 1,000 downloads or something, right?
Sure.
So you may do the same things over and over again with people, but if you can take that information, package it into some sort of information-based product, and then potentially have some support from you along the way for people to understand what they should be doing, you can dramatically increase the outcomes that they want to get, and you can leverage your time in a way to where you can make more revenue for your time, which we all know is just the most valuable asset we don't get any more of, right?
Finite.
So I think that's for you probably the best solution for what you're talking about doing, because it would be also less costly than working one-on-one the whole entire time with somebody. You'd have to charge a lot more for that.
Right. Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah, that's a good idea. Talk about your mastermind. If someone's saying, you know what, I like Danny's vibe, how does someone reach out and get in touch with you and jump in on that?
So the mastermind currently is closed. So we open it after we do our events. Our next event is beginning of November. Mm-hmm. If somebody's interested in more information about the mastermind, you can email me directly at danny@athletespotential.com, and we can see if you're the right fit. We have a wait list of people, but there's an application process, and then we have to talk to you and see if your values align with what our mastermind values are. Because, you know, it's something that I'm very protective of who we let into it, because we have to hang out with each other for quite a while. And it's such a cool kind of environment, right? It's not for everybody. Like last mastermind event, we did a CrossFit workout together. It was like CrossFit light, I guess you'd say. But like we were on a salt bike, swinging kettlebells and doing burpees Saturday morning, you know, before we started the second day. And we had drank a lot of beer the night before that. Nice. So it was fun, man. You know, it's just like being able to be around other people that are movement biased providers that have a strength and conditioning element to what they do, that want to, you know, work with people in a cash setting and have aspirations to grow to more than just themselves. Because, you know, we don't want to work with people that just want to have a lifestyle business where they work with people 3 days a week and, you know, maybe just chill the rest of the time. Like, that's cool if you want to do that. I have nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But this is not the right fit for that person. It's for people that are really trying to kind of grow and scale past that.
Well, you're selling a service, you're selling information, but you're selling an experience. I like the fact that you actually, you know, interview before someone comes in there, because if that exchange, right, if that exchange of time and money for your expertise isn't going to go well, you don't want that, because number one, you can have somebody else fit that spot. But number two, you know, that person's going to say something like, you know, I was in Danny's mastermind and it wasn't great.
No, hell no. We know right away if somebody's the right fit. It's funny, you have this like gut reaction, right? Like you'll know if somebody is somebody you would want to hang out with and, you know, spend 24 hours over a weekend with, right, you know, twice a year. You know, and the other thing that you don't want is to let people in that are not, we call them, there's like A players, B players, and C players. Okay. So A players are rare. They're the people that are, they say they're going to do something. They actually implement it. They complete it. And then they move on to the next thing. Or they build a team around them to help them move on to the next thing and complete things. B players are sort of like, they do okay. Like they're not necessarily somebody you're going to fire right away, but you know, there's always like, they never really give 100% effort, or they do a little bit more than what you expect. These typically are like, I don't know, man, not necessarily the worst employees. They're not the people that we look for or people that I want to work with. I think they're more detrimental to your business than people that are sort of C players, which they just suck. You know, like you get these people and you're like, all right, they're okay. I mean, they're not doing a terrible job, but then what if you can get an A player in that position where you have a B player?
Sure.
Man, what's the exponential change associated with that? So we look for people that are highly motivated, that share common goals with us. And to be honest with you, people who I think I can help based on what we have done. It's important for the culture of your group, as well as that person, who's the best fit for them, for us to have like a true relationship. I don't want you to work with me if I'm not the best fit.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you might not be the expert in something, but I will tell you this, being able to facilitate things like conversations or thought processes is a value. You know, like throughout the professor model, you know, your professor might not know the answer to that particular question, even if it's in their area of specialty in physical therapy, but if they can facilitate a thought process, we're all going to find the answer eventually.
Totally. I mean, absolutely. And look, for some people, they're not even at a place where they're even close to being ready to join a mastermind, right? Maybe they're just thinking about getting started. Maybe they just started. For people like that, I mean, this is where I think, like, for you in particular, and we kind of, you know, alluded to this a little bit in our conversation already, when you look at being able to take something that's a proven system and turn it into a sellable product, digital product, that's huge, you know, and that's something that I've been surprised how good of results you can get with things like that are more hands-off. Yeah. You know, at this point we have a product to start a practice called the Gym PT Blueprint, where we really think the gym model is really where people can be successful in this hybrid approach, where you sort of have a strength and conditioning background, but you're in a setting that has low overhead and you're in front of a target audience every day. And then we have a workshop course, which is really how we found to run our workshops. And it's things that we get questions on all the time, just like you with the podcast, right? So we can put these things out like, here's the system that we have in our business. You can plug it into yours, you know, and run with it. And it's way more cost effective, but it is a lot more leverageable from my standpoint. And same thing with you, when if you do something with a podcast, because it can be a lower price point and people can, you know, they can implement that on their own time. And hopefully they implement it really well, because the whole point is like to get a result.
Sure. DrDannyMattei.com. That's DrDannyMattei.com. You ready for three questions?
Let's do it.
All right. You've traveled around. I mean, you were in the military for a while and you've gone around the U.S. Where's someone in the 50 U.S. states that you haven't been a physical therapist yet that you wouldn't mind going?
I don't know. You know what? Oregon looks awesome. Yeah. I've never been to Oregon. And I have a patient that just moved out to Bend, and she's a photographer. She just sent me some pictures of, you know, some areas in Bend. It looks pretty freaking cool. I would like to check
that
out.
That's cool. The reason we ask that as the first question, our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing, find PTs jobs in all 50 states, in Oregon. The popular ones, Danny, like California, Hawaii, Alaska, Colorado, those are like the big ones that people ask. Yes, they have positions, all settings for physical therapists, also OTs and SLPs. And the reason we mention that is you don't have to travel alone. So if you've got a spouse or a friend you want to travel with, sometimes they can hook up assignments where that kind of coincide and you guys can travel as buddies. AureusMedical.com. Reach out. They can get someone to listen to what you're looking for and get you hooked up somewhere in the U.S. to do that thing we all love, which is physical therapy. Second question, I know you read a lot and you're talking a lot online a lot. What's something you read that recently that really inspired you, Danny?
You know, I'm rereading a book right now. Actually, you know, started rereading it last night. It's called The Obstacle is the Way. Okay. It's sort of a modern take on the ancient Stoics, you know, like Marcus Aurelius and Seneca. Yeah. And I sound a lot smarter than I actually am because I've only read this one book on it, but I think it's fascinating. You know, they talk about this. It's all about the concept of struggles and how you look at them. It's funny, like most of us have had things that we thought were like huge problems, right? And what happens is if you can really take a step back and say, okay, this is a problem, but how can I learn from this? It can become a positive for you. For instance, me losing a bunch of money, growing my practice has made me significantly better business owner than if everything had been easy for me.
Sure.
So that's the book. The Obstacle is the Way. It's short. I think it's a great book.
I'll check it out. Last question. Who's someone in the field or out of the field? Since you talk to a lot of people who aren't necessarily in the PT field, but their expertise translates. Who's someone the audience should know more about?
Brett Bartholomew, okay. Who Brett is a buddy of mine. He's actually here in Atlanta. He wrote a book called Conscious Coaching. And it is just, it's basically the science of communication to get buy-in and what people, what we need people to do as PTs. It overlaps so well with that. And he's one of the smarter just people I've ever had a chance to spend some time around. And the depth that he goes into of research on these books is just, I mean, it's crazy, man. He reads more research articles than anybody I know. So Brett Bartholomew, the book is Conscious Coaching. Many PTs I know have already delved into his stuff and love it. So I'd look him up.
And last thing we do on the show, tradition, parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
After doing 100 episodes of a different podcast, you had Doc and Jock, now you've got the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's a parting shot of wisdom that you've picked up since doing this brand new podcast that focuses on PT business?
I would say, in particular, when it comes to podcasts, start with an idea in mind of exactly who you are trying to engage with, you know, and then create the content that they would absolutely love.
That.
Because I think more often than not, we create the content that we want, sure. You know, and we're like, oh, this is gonna be awesome. And sometimes it's not, and you fall flat on your face. And it's because you're creating something for yourself versus like, who is it that you wanna work with? Who is it you wanna educate? Figure out what their problems are, figure out what their kind of specific needs are, create content for that person. And then you'll have a much clearer picture of exactly what you need to do or who you need to talk to as your podcast continues to grow.
Love it. DrDannyMattei.com, DrDannyMattei.com. It's the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. It's on iTunes and wherever podcasts are heard. Where else is the show? Well, yeah, on Google, on Stitcher, what?
It's on Google Play, yeah, for sure. Stitcher. I think we're trying to get on Spotify. You guys have on Spotify, right?
We just got on there, yeah, about a month ago, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Soon to be Spotify. But I think most of the listenership base listens on iTunes. Is yours like that?
Yeah, it's mostly iTunes. That's the king. Yeah. That's the one you got to be on.
Totally.
PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Keep cranking them out, man. I love just peeking in and kind of binging every once in a while when you got some great guests lined up. Thanks for doing what you do, man.
Well, hey, thanks so much for having me on again. I really appreciate it. Dude, we need to catch up in person again.
Let's do that.
Soon. Eat some tacos.
Cool.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Hey guys, Maestro here, and I want to personally invite you to Rockstock 2018, the movement experience of the year. Join us in sunny Miami Beach, Florida on October 27th and 28th for movement, laughter, dancing, music, fun, and yes, you will get CEUs. The lineup is absolute fire, including yours truly and your girl, Dr. Court Conley. So head on over to rocktape.com, use the code PTPintcasters18 to save yourself some money. I'll see you there.